In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. The stone that the builders rejected. This is the Lord's doing. This is the day that the Lord has made. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, you gave your Son into the hands of sinful men who killed him. Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love, and grant us the fullness of your salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 5. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a vine vat in it. And he looked upon it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord. Gracious God, you gave your Son into the hands of sinful men. He will command his angels concerning you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Our epistle reading is from the book of Philippians, chapter 3. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. But the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his own son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When, therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their season." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21, verses 33 through 43, particularly these words. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. It was a master of a household who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a watchtower and leased the vineyard to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit." This is our text. In the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear Christian friends, let me share with you a story this morning, the story of two beggars. Once upon a time, when things were really, really bad, two beggars roamed the countryside seeking food. Both were quite successful at their trade, if you want to call it that. But a significant difference separated the two. The one found many open hands and stored up his food in a sack that he carried over his back. Times were bad, he thought, but they could get much worse, so he would better to keep what he had, live as frugally as possible, and save for a day that would be much worse. As he thus gathered his food, the bread hardened and the vegetables rotted. But the man would not stop his gathering. The more he gathered, of course, the heavier his sack became. And the heavier it became for him to travel from village to village and from house to house. Until one day, he had the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back, and his sack got too heavy, and it did break his back. And there he died, with a broken back and munching on stale bread. The other also found remarkable success in his gathering. For him, though, the sack never got heavy, nor did the bread grow stale or the vegetables rotten. His wanderings, he regularly came across beggars who were less successful than he had been, and they needed help. In each of them, he opened his sack, and the bread was consumed before it grew hard, and the vegetables were made into soup before they grew old. Far and wide he traveled, but he always traveled lightly, for there was always someone in need, and he was never stingy in his sharing. Thus, for many years, he wandered the countryside. He was the provider for many in greater need than he, and with his sack carried so lightly on his shoulder, he never felt the burden that ultimately became the first beggar's doom. Of course, this story is a way of entering Jesus' parable for today through the back door, not the front. The men in the vineyard were neither the owners of nor even the builders of the vineyard in which they toiled. They were beggars, as it were, men who lived by the grace of a good master, who lived by the grace of God for a good master, who had himself toiled long and hard to plant the vineyard, to build a wall, and to dig a wine press in it, and even to build a tower in order to protect it. He went to great lengths to provide everything necessary to sustain the workers, They were merely those who were available when the master went into another country and needed people to care for his vineyard. In Jesus' story, the vineyard keepers are the people of Israel, to whom God entrusted his plan of salvation for the whole world. They were the chosen people. They were the children of Abraham, who would be numbered like the stars of the heavens and like the sands of the seashore. They were the lineage from whom would come that promised son of David, the Messiah, who would save his people. The land in which they lived was given to them by God. They were beggars who had been richly blessed by God's grace. But our position in the world is not a whole lot different than theirs. We must be careful not to scold the children of Israel through this parable without also seeing ourselves in a new Israel created in Christ Jesus for the same purpose. To us also is given God's grace, God's love, and God's forgiveness, so that we might be his ambassadors in this world. We are a light unto the Gentiles. We are the salt of the earth. Through us, all nations of the earth are to be blessed through the going and through the baptizing and through the teaching of all things that Christ has commanded. We too are beggars who cannot live off of the land, but must depend on God's merciful hand for giving and filling the sack of our needs with his rich gifts of grace, of love, of forgiveness, of peace. We too depend on the gifts of God. It is therefore a strange twist of fate to hear the story of the men in the vineyard. They actually took advantage of the master. They took the servants that the owner sent to get his share of the harvest. The text reads that they killed one and stoned another and beat another. Not once, but twice. And then the owner sends his son, and the tenants kill the son, hoping to take ownership of the vineyard to themselves through some loophole in the law. Could such a thing really happen? We say, well, the laws would have protected the owner. That couldn't happen. But Scripture scholars think that what Jesus was probably using was a real life story that was very well known in those days, that it had actually happened. And if the parable still is just a story, what Jesus is telling in this parable is something that really did happen. Think of the Old Testament and everything that the children of Israel and Judah did to God's prophets in the Old Testament. They killed them. They stoned them. They certainly did not listen to them. They did not want to hear God's message to them. And when Jesus Christ, God's own Son, came into the world, they took him outside the city of Jerusalem and on the cross of Calvary crucified God's Son. Could such a thing happen? Yes, it did happen. But what hurts even more is, yes, it still happens among us every day. How often do we become selfish and worry only about what is good for ourselves? Or how often do we think only of how much we will profit or gain out of a situation, instead of looking at the goodness and the grace which God has shed in our life and how we can share it with others. Indeed, God has been good to us, and yet we so many times look at our own personal wants and desires. It's very hard to take that corner of existence that we call our lives and give it totally and completely into the hands of the Master, put it into God's hands. We want to control our own life. There were two men on the road with bags on their backs, both living as beggars. One gladly accepts all of God's gifts and hoards them in a bag bursting at the seams. One day, the weight of all God's blessings becomes too much, and he falls to the ground under the weight of selfishly hoarding the gifts of God. And Jesus said in our text, "Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruits." God's grace is to be passed on. It is to be given away. It is to be proclaimed to others throughout the world. It is never merely our own possession. The other man, beggar though he be, kept his bag light. He gave away all that he had. All that was given to him became a gift for others. May God's grace to us be a gift of grace that we can give to others. May the forgiveness that God has given to us be the gift that we give to others. May the love that God has given to us and flourished on us be a gift that we can give to others. And may that peace, which passes all understanding, be a gift that we can give to others. All the blessings that God has given to us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ are to the glory of God. And they are all ours by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, with no merit or worthiness in us. So let us be generous with the gifts of God. Let us share them with others around us. Let us comfort those who are in need. And let us reach out to bless those, because we have been blessed by our God. To God alone be the glory, now and always. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you have planted, nurtured, and hedged around your vineyard, the Church. You sent your dear Son to give his life for her. Inspire her by your Holy Spirit to yield much fruit for your kingdom, and grant that many find shelter in her holy hill. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, since your Son has made us his own by his death, grant that we may share in his sufferings with confidence, and that we may also know the power of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, grant all orphans a safe place in which to grow and thrive. Bring into their lives generous couples who will open their hearts to give them permanent homes through adoption. Lord, in your mercy, shine your light upon us, O Lord, that we may do what is good and right and live as faithful citizens in our nation. Bless our president, our governor, and all those elected and appointed to make, administer, and judge our laws. Lord, in your mercy, divine vine dresser, you prune those whom you love. Strengthen our hearts to heed your law, that we may never presume to sin nor trust in our own deeds, but look to the rainfall of your grace for our source of life. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, you bring forth from this barren earth a holy people to press forward to your heavenly goal. Direct our zeal toward your good and gracious purpose, and prosper the work of the hands that labor in your name. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, you sing the song of your love over the vineyard of your church. Lift her united voices through your Spirit, that she in turn would freely praise your lavish grace and proclaim your salvation beyond her walls. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom and the power.
O Lord, graciously receive the prayers of your church, that being delivered from all adversity and error, it may serve you in safety and freedom, and dwell in your peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.